Hey, thanks. You want to talk about Tom Seaver or Robin Roberts or any of these other great pitchers?
Tom Seaver, I think, had 71 baseballs sitting in his house. And I'm trying to remember which pitcher it was. It may have been Ron Darling. And Ron said, what's the 71 for? He says, my complete game shutouts.
He was an all-time great. There is no question, Tom Seaver. I grew up in Philadelphia, but I loved to watch Tom Seaver pitch when I was a boy.
Game 469 World Series, 10-inning game. Seaver, complete game, needed to win it. They won 2-1.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what a Hall of Fame all-time great does.
That's exactly right, Ed. Exactly right. I'm trying to convince these Yankee people, Whitey Ford would have gone out there. All right.
Yeah.
Signs of life, Ed, in the Eagles' offense. Why?
Oh, signs of life, you say. Well, I think they need to show more signs of life, to be honest with you. They did put up 29, and, Doug Peterson gets a lot of grief for not being a good play caller. But when you look at the cast, and he's running out there to score 29 points against that defense, does look like some signs of life. And if you're going to call it that, then you have to look at, I guess, Travis Fulgham, a guy they kind of got off the scrap heap, a former draft pick of the Lions, played three games with them, didn't catch a single pass. That was 2 years ago. And then he went to Green Bay, didn't even get on the field. He got cut. The Eagles got him, had 10 catches for 152 yards and a touchdown in that loss against Pittsburgh. So he looks like, to me, the number one receiver that Carson has not had in a while, because Deshaun Jackson's hurt again. Alshon Jeffrey still hasn't been able to answer the bell here after having surgery 10 months ago, Lisfranc surgery. So that's a positive. Miles Sanders had
and they haven't had Reagor either, the other wideout.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, Jalen Reagor, their number one draft pick, out with a thumb injury. He's not expected back until probably after the bye. November 15th, I think, would be their first game back after the bye. So, they're running guys out there just kind of like they did last year, Steve, when they won four in a row, guys you've probably never heard of. Travis Fulgham, Greg Ward's a little bit more of a household name now, they're using him. They're using J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He really hasn't done a lot since being drafted in the second round last year. Guys like Deonte Burnett. I mean, it's just a cast of no names, and maybe Fulgham will become that name receiver as these weeks go on, and maybe that will spark this team's offense.
You started to mention Miles Sanders in that answer, Ed, so I want you to expand upon that. He did have the big run, but after that, I think he only gained 6 yards the rest of the game.
Yeah, 6 yards on 10 carries. I mean, that was an electric burst, and you thought, okay, you know what? This is going to be a good homecoming game for Miles. Of course, he grew up 15 miles outside the city, right through the Squirrel Hill Tunnel there in Pittsburgh, played for the Woodland Hills high school team. Rooted for the Steelers growing up, and here he comes into Heinz Field. He rips off that 74-yard run. Then he scores another touchdown, 1 yard touchdown burst later in the game. But like you said, they shut him down. And if you look for reasons why, I think they need a better complement for Sanders for one of those reasons. And the second is that offensive line of the Eagles has been just ravaged with injury. They lost four starters. It looks like they're going to be without Lane Johnson, the right tackle, in these next two games. And now you're running out guys like Jordan Mulata at left tackle because Jason Peters and Andre Dillard are hurt. And Mulata's the Australian rugby player who, 2 years ago when they drafted him and I was there for his first practice, he couldn't even figure out how to put his helmet on. He had never played football before. So now here he is. He's out there as your left tackle. You got a 22-year-old kid, undrafted free agent from Stanford, next to him at the guard spot. And then at right tackle, you're going to end up starting a rookie from Auburn, Jack Driscoll. The only stalwart on that line has been Jason Kelce. He's the only one that's been able to stay healthy. And, if you're going to have one that's going to stay healthy, he's the guy because at center, he makes all the calls. He's a 32-year-old veteran. He's made 84 straight starts. So you hope he can stay healthy and kind of be the glue that keeps this whole thing together.
How much would it help if somehow down the road they can get Lane Johnson in there to at least give him a second person?
Yeah, Lane's been in and out. He had ankle surgery in August, middle of August, tightrope surgery, they called it. And he's been battling swelling in that thing ever since. So, he'll get in, he'll play, the ankle will swell up, he comes out. sometimes he comes back, sometimes he doesn't. So, you know, that's not an ideal situation either. You have to find a starter that you can get ready as a starter during practice, in the days leading up to a game. And I suspect, and this hasn't been announced, I'm saying it here, that I just talked to someone who told me they're probably going to shut him down for these next two games to give him some rest. The Eagles play two games in 4 days. They play Sunday against Baltimore and then Thursday against the Giants. So this is an ideal time to shut him down. That's the only thing that's going to help this ankle get better is shutting him down and giving him rest. And the Eagles are ready to do that, is what I've been told.
You know, we were talking about baseball earlier, Ed, and it's interesting. When a team is going bad, you know, say they're a terrific hitting team, but they can't pitch. They just give up a ton of runs. They got to outscore people. The day they get a brilliant pitching performance is the day the bat's going to a slump. So let's get to the defense. Let's get into the defense for a moment. There have been some games where they played decently, but then against the Steelers on Sunday, they couldn't stop them. What do you see in that Eagle defense right now?
It's just a lot of inconsistency. They're not communicating well. They're a little undermanned at the linebacker's position, but that's kind of by choice. They don't dump a lot of resources into that spot. Yeah, their front four or five, six guys that they rotate on that defensive line are very good, but you see how they can be exposed when they're not getting to the quarterback. You know, the Steelers offensive line did a terrific job holding that defensive line to just one sack in the game. This was a defensive line that had rung up 13 sacks combined in its previous two games. They had 33 quarterback hits. You know, I know Ben's getting rid of the ball quickly, and Ben was just playing lights out. You know, you look at the third down completions he made. He was 11 for 11 for 158 yards and two touchdowns on third down. I don't know what you can do against that. If you're having a day, you're having a day. But this Eagles defense seems prone to misdirection plays. The Rams really took it to them with, you know, a lot of misdirection plays, a lot of jet sweeps, a lot of wide receiver runs. And the Steelers seem to kind of copy that. You know, you look at Ray McCloud, he picked up some big yards in the run game. You know, Chase Claypool scored one of his four touchdowns with a rushing touchdown. I mean, the Eagles are prone, and maybe it's they over-pursue, maybe they're too aggressive up front, but they're really prone to these misdirection-type plays and receivers on double reverses or jet sweeps.
Yeah, they take me out. Look, when you're trying to make a play, you are prone to do that. Because my team needs me to make a play. And that's when you take a bad angle or you over-pursue and get caught. And that's what's happened with them.
Yeah, and you try to do too much. You know, you try to do too much and you try to do another guy's job. And nobody is benefited by that.
I want to ask you an officiating question for a moment. Now, I'm not saying this has anything to do with the outcome of the game. Not at all. But the officiating has been really up and down so far. Early in the game, Darius Slay gets called for pass interference. The ball by Roethlisberger is not only clearly overthrown, it's overthrown out of bounds. To me, pass interference, this is me, and you can dispute this if you wish, please, Ed. To me, pass interference is the defender, in this case, interfering with the possibility of you making a catch. If the ball's out of bounds, and even if he does catch it, which he's not because it's overthrown, it's not going to be a catch. I did not understand that call at all.
Yeah, I mean, he could point to several calls, and I agree with you, Steve, by the way. I mean, if that ball is heading out of bounds or it's uncatchable, and we don't see a whole lot of uncatchables. You know, it's that motion refs make with the waving their hand over their head, uncatchable, and we haven't seen a whole lot of that, you know. I just thought there were several penalties both ways in that game on Sunday. I mean, there were 16 flags thrown in that game, and I know for the Eagles, eight of them came on defense, and I think there were three PI calls. But I think nobody really wants to see that. I mean, if it's an egregious penalty, then sure. You know, if someone's jumping off sides or there's a clear hold, or, you know, like you said, if you're interfering with someone catching a catchable ball, then yeah, throw the flag. But some of these calls to me just look like, you know, keep your flag in your pocket. Nobody wants to see you guys converse for, you know, a minute, 2 minutes while you decide what you're going to call. I mean, let's just play the game. It really interrupts the flow, the fun. And like I said, I'm not saying don't throw flags, but throw flags when they're, you know, when they're warranted, not for stuff that you think you saw.
The NFL is pushing forward with its schedule. They've had to make adjustments. How do you think they've handled all of this so far, Ed?
Well, they're dancing as fast as they can, it looks like to me. It's not easy, obviously, and we knew this was coming. We just, I think, were blinded by the fact that it could come, because for the first, 3 weeks or so, everything was going great. You know, you thought, okay, they have this under control, but, you know, then we see the outbreak in Tennessee and then New England, and suddenly you start doing some trace testing and you see how it impacts the other teams. And I think we all expected it. I think the NFL is doing as good a job as they can. Having these bye weeks helps. It's certainly not going to help the Steelers, though, when you look at it, because you look at Pittsburgh and they had their bye week really in week four, I guess. They were 3-0 and they had to sit out. So now you're going to end up playing 13 straight games if you're Pittsburgh, and other teams are going to be impacted by that. And then you look at the Eagles, they played a Steelers team that had a built-in bye when they weren't supposed to have a bye. So it's going to affect some teams. I think you're just going to have to roll with the changes here, and you really, really cross your fingers and hope that they can get this season in by doing what they're doing and postponing games and finding a spot later in the year when they play them. And I'm not sure it's going to be doable, to be honest. I think they should probably add an 18th week at the end of the year here, and that may be what happens. But right now they're just trying to do as best a job they can at rescheduling some of these games that are canceled because of COVID.
And yet, despite all of this, the Eagles are still in the, quote, thick of the race in the NFC East. Dak Prescott's out for the next 4 to 6 months, so it's Andy Dalton's team. So how do you think this thing lines up right now?
You know, that's not bad being an Andy Dalton team. You know, he won some games in Cincinnati. I think he won over 100 games with the Bengals in his time there. I mean, this guy stepped in. And we saw with the Eagles in 2017 when Carson Wentz went down in week 13 with the two ligament injuries, Nick Foles stepped in. Foles had experience. So, you know, to me, Andy Dalton, you can win games with Andy Dalton. You still have, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. But Dallas has questions on the offensive line. Their defense, obviously, has been kind of, ripped week in and week out. A lot of points being scored on it. And here the Eagles are, you know, they're a half game out, right? 1-3-1 puts them a half game out of first place. I mean, this is a division, Steve, that it may only take 7 wins to win, and maybe even 6. I mean, as hard as it is to say that and believe that, it could happen. But I think Dallas probably has the most talent in the division. And whether or not they can rally around Andy Dalton now and put this thing together, I still think it's their division. I think the Eagles will eventually find their footing, but they've got a pretty rough schedule ahead themselves. You know, I mentioned Baltimore this weekend, and they still have New Orleans on the schedule. Arizona's on the schedule. Cleveland looks terrific at 4-1. They're still laying out there, and then they still have to play the Cowboys twice. So it's not going to be easy for the Eagles. I still think the Cowboys will do enough. They'll have enough to win this division, but I don't think they're going to need any more than 7 wins at this point.
I agree. Ed, thanks so much. I really appreciate your time. I always enjoy having you on.
Thanks, Steve. Love doing it.